The topic of my presentation today is colonization and decolonization of Southeast Asia. And colonialism is the establishment and maintenance and acquisition and expansion of colonies in one territory by people from another territory. Colonialism is a process whereby sovereignty of a colony is claimed by metropole and the social structure, government and economic of the colony are changed by colonists, people from metropole. Colonialism is a set of unequal relationship between the metropole and the colony and between the colonists and the indigenous population. The colonial period normally refers to the period of history from the late 15th to the 20th century when European nation states established colonies on the other continents. In this period, the justification for colonialism included various factors such as the profit to be made, the extension of power of the metropole, and the various religious and political beliefs. On the past two centuries, as a result of human energy unleashed by the scientific, industrial, and nationalist revolution, Southeast Asia society has changed profoundly. Western influence started to enter Southeast Asia, that is ASEAN, in the 16th century with the arrival of Portuguese and Spanish in Maluku, Indonesia, and the Philippines. Later, the Dutch established the Dutch East India Company, the French Indochina, and British Strait Settlement. European explorers were reaching Southeast Asia from the west and from the east. Regular trade between the ships sailing east of Indian Ocean and south from mainland Asia provided goods in return for the natural products such as honey and hornbill beaks from the island of the archipelago. European brought Christianity, allowing Christian missionaries to become widespread. During World War II, the Imperial Japan invaded most of former Western colonies. Most countries in the region enjoy national autonomy, democratic form of government, and the recognition of human rights taking roots. Nationalism effect on Southeast Asia. Southeast Asian history features the story of indigenous culture that has arisen without much intermingling with outside influences until the arrival of Chinese and Western sailors and adventurers. In some cases, especially in the first years of scramble for colonial holdings, the interaction was benign and even beneficial on both sides. European visitors to Southeast Asia in the 17th and approaching 19th century, when scientific industrial development had produced a technological gap between Europe and the rest of the world. Chinese emperors believed that since China was the Middle Kingdom, all other peoples were compelled to literally pay respect to Chinese power. The tribute system showed that Chinese was the superior center of its rule, as duties toward all other rulers as his inferiors. Colonialism in Southeast Asia brought modern Western ideas and concepts to Southeast Asia. Some of these ideas included the nation-state and its commitment, bureaucratic structure, education, and ambitious youth in political theory and human rights, new economic opportunities, and travails the new perspectives on religion. This dynamic change as the colonial power brought colonial governmental structure and the world to organize the economy to produce saleable goods. As more wealth was introduced, more outsiders were drawn to Southeast Asia, bringing their own cultures and religion into contact with the locals, endangering change and, unfortunately, prejudice. As in much of the interests of the world, these differences give rise to the prejudice and stereotype. The differences also give rise to nationalism. Nationalism, as it was expressed throughout Southeast Asia, looked different in each country. The various religions and cultures found in countries in region were so unique that we shall use the term indigenism to describe the structure of policies, institutions created to transform the racial dimension of colonial type economies inherited by Southern Asian societies. Even though each country had different colonial experiences, all people shared a similar negative perception of nationalism. Nationalism is also as the movement to liberate the national society from the constraint. The shared loathing of colonial power resulted in indigenism. It should be noted that most nationalists and revolutionaries in Southeast Asia did not object to structure and bureaucracy per se. Revolutionary leaders, most of whom had been educated in Western, understood an efficient bureaucracy was intrinsic to the functioning of the state. Further, most Southeast Asian revolutionaries did not object to usurpation of power from local chieftains. Instead, the indigenous leaders objected to the foreigners being in power, not to the government structure necessary to projecting the power. The fact that many Southeast Asian revolutionaries only recognized their desire to overthrow the supplant their colonial master after availing themselves of Western education is another common theme to the post-colonial period. However, Western power were not willing to provide such opportunity to these returning scholars. So, instead of working within the colonial structure, the buttress of the status quo, these revolutionaries worked to undermine it. Colonialism thus contained the seed of its own destruction. Young people with good education could recognize the strength and weaknesses of the colonial system and therefore could attack the weaknesses and preserve the strength. The colonial power inadvertently nurtured Asian nationalism by combining political repression with opportunity for Western or Japanese education. The most talented and capable indigenous leaders were offered the benefit of colonial education, but denied profession opportunities to use it. Another byproduct of colonialism was introducing new religious beliefs that supplanted indigenous traditional ones. This new belief became the way to set population apart from one another. Southeast Asia is a crossroad of many religious influences which have always been treated syncretically. Colonialism effect in Southeast Asia continue to this day. The religion has large, dense population brought about the economic effect of colonialism. The density of population and the wealth of the region has brought many different cultures into contact and altered the religion and culture. Colonial education policy introduced ideas about nationalism and human rights that encouraged and inspired revolutionaries who ultimately overthrew the colonial order. The revolutionaries co-opted with the colonial bureaucratic structure to administer the government by now control. The results have been mixed, but the legacy of colonialism and nationalism it engendered remain to the present. The Japanese occupation of Southeast Asia developed out what was arguably the first international conflict that was truly global, in that it mounted a challenge to the Eurocentric world system and to increasing American intervention in the region. Japan's leaders in the occupation championed the fight for Japanese hegemony in East Asia, which they saw as legitimate right, led what they conceived as Pan-Asian struggle to throw off the yoke of Western imperialism. The subsequent freezing of Japanese financial assets by United States and its embargo on all oil export to Japan led to the latter's decision to wage war against the Western adversaries. 1937, Prime Minister Konoye Fumimaro declared the new order in East Asia. In political reality, its mission was to erect a buffer of Asian hinterland to ensure the security and expanded Japanese empire. On invading northern Indochina, Japan troops tried to close the Burma Road, by which the American and the British brought supplied to Chinese nationalists. This action on the part of Japanese brought into the opposition with the allied power. Japan subsequently proclaimed the expansion of its new order into French Indochina and the Dutch East Indies. With the internment of some 100,000 Dutch and Eurasian, many Japanese rejoiced, welcoming the invasion as a step to the process of liberation from the colonial yoke. Japan invaded British-controlled Malaya in December 41 from the East Coast at the same time that Singapore was bombarded. In this confrontation, the British fleet was sunk in the South China Sea. Borneo would be occupied then in February, Singapore and Bali. In spring 1942, Japanese Premier Tojo Hideki began organizing a Greater East Asia Ministry that would direct the affair of the occupied nation and territories. The Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere was inaugurated in November 42 with the promise to create a Pan-Asian Union. A year later, leaders of Japan, China, Manchukuo, Malaya, Thailand, Burma, Myanmar, Singapore and the Philippines met at the Greater East Asia Conference in Tokyo. In reality, the Japanese occupation entailed harsh measures of control over national government, economies and culture with the settlement in the colonized country of thousands of Japanese official laborers, all mainly for the benefit of Japanese itself. Japanese soldiers acted under no obligation to obey officers or even sentries of the host country military forces. In the countries it occupied, Japanese authority imposed educational reform that would replace Western teaching with principles consistent with the new order. Textbooks and periodicals were censored or banned by the Nippongo, or Japanese language became the required part of curriculum. Yet the brutality of Japanese rule and the establishment of pro-Japanese hierarchy produced disillusionment throughout Southeast Asia. Japan suppressed shows of anti-Japanese nationalism in occupied country and exacted the forced labor for the people. In mobilizing the masses for their case, the Japanese High Command broadcast pro-Japanese propaganda in the radio and controlled the media. Throughout the occupied territories, however, Japanese troops inflicted violence on the local population, which included the forcing of females into sexual slavery as comfort women. Such outrages bred dissatisfaction, but also catalyzed nationalist movement. Indonesia Soekarno would declare independence for his country August 17, 1945, 8 days after the atomic bomb fell over Nagasaki. Decolonization of ASEAN countries. World War II permanently changed the relationship between people of Southeast Asia and their colonial master. First of all, the myth of white man's invincibility has been shattered by Japan's rapid advance during the early months of the war. Also, Japan has encouraged the growth of nationalism, using it as a tool to turn native opinion in favor of exit. Those nationalist leaders who had been imprisoned or exiled by the West were set free and often used to recruit native pro-Japanese army. In Indonesia, Japanese produced a simplified Malay language, Bahasa Indonesia, to replace 250 languages and dialects used in the archipelago previously. All over the region, Southeast Asia started to see themselves as true modern nation rather than a mixture of rival religion, languages, culture and races. Finally, the devastation caused by the war gave many Southeast Asia a great desire to be left alone. They were no longer willing to be used as pawn in the conflict between empires. When the Allies returned to their colonies of pre-war era, they found all sorts of social unrest waiting for them. The four colonial powers reacted to the change situation in different ways. Americans had promised independence to the Philippines before the war, and now Britain's new Labour government announced that it would let the British colony go if it could do so without losing face. The French and the Dutch, on the other hand, acted as if nothing had happened since 1940. Both of them still believed that Western technology and skill were superior to any local army or political movement. For the current wave of unrest, that was seen as an aberration that could be dealt with quickly. After all, the pre-war nationalist movement had been effectively suppressed, hadn't they? This short-sightedness would lead to new war in French Indochina and Dutch East Indies, and the humiliating expulsion of Europeans from both. And while America and Britain willingly got out of the territory they had, there was even trouble there, as we will see. Conclusion: the Western power colonized Southeast Asia included various factors such as the profit to be made, the expansion of the power of the metropole, and the various religious and political beliefs. In reality, Japanese occupation entailed harsh measures to the control of national government, economy, and culture, with the settlement in the colonized country of thousands of Japanese officials and laborers, all mainly for the benefit of Japanese itself. Colonialism's effect in South Asia continue to this day. The region has a large, dense population brought about by economic effect of colonialism. Thank you very much.